And joining us today is John Meacham. John has received the Pulitzer Prize for his 2008 biography of Andrew Jackson. That book was titled American Lion. He's an executive editor at Random House, also the author of the New York Times bestsellers Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power, American Gospel, and Franklin and Winston. And the newest book is Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Delighted. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit. I read off the titles of some of those books you've written. And those, first of all, I'd like to mention that these books are huge. All those books, were they intended to be that big, or you just got so much research and research that?
Yeah, I've killed a lot of trees in my time, unquestionably. But you know, these are big topics. They're big subjects. And my test always is, am I doing right by the subject, and am I doing right by the reader? I don't want to overwhelm people. But, you know, you look at somebody like the senior Bush, and you've got a 90-year life. Plus his family background. You had a number of jobs. You know, he was in Congress, ambassador to the UN, chairman of the Republican National Committee, envoy to China, director of the CIA, vice president, president. You know, it's a big consequential life, and so you want to do right by it.
So when you sit down and you start doing research for this, and this, from what I understand, correct me if I'm wrong, it took 10 years to do the research, and some of that research included looking at the president's diaries, the first lady's diaries. But what I really was interested in is, and a lot of people probably don't know about this unless they read your book, is Bush before, when he went to war, and then when he decided to go to Texas, when he could very easily have gone to Wall Street and worked for his uncle.
Absolutely. Expected path was that he was going to go work in New York, work in the financial sector, be in the shadow of his father and his grandfather. But his goal was to make a difference, was to do something different. And so in the summer of 1948, he drove down to Odessa, where he became oil equipment salesman and started building a life in the oil business. I think if he had not come to Texas, he would not be president, would not have been president, because he would have been simply being a New England Republican was not where the center of gravity in the country, both politically and culturally, was going. And he ended up in Texas at just the right moment. My favorite story about that is when he was first driving down, he stopped in Abilene for chicken fried steak.
Oh, yes.
And he wasn't sure when he first ordered it whether it was steak fried like a chicken or chicken cooked like a steak. But he learned. He learned soon enough.
Now, you mentioned the Republican Party and the political party, and I'm glad you did that because you address also that in the book and the fact that how the Republican Party was changing and how that affected President Bush.
Absolutely. You know, he was a more of a moderate conservative. He was not a movement conservative in the sense of Barry Goldwater and Ronald Reagan and even his own son, George W. Bush. He was not as radical a figure. He was someone who believed in managing change carefully. He had a sensibility that was more in the center than to the right. And he had to deal with a Republican Party that was moving ever rightward through the years of his active political life.
He also, and this is, again, one of the things that few people know about President Bush, the fact that he was in World War II. He flew combat missions, and he was one of the men featured in Bradley's Flyboys.
That's right. No, it was a huge part of his life. He flew, I think, 58 combat missions. He was a carrier-based bomber pilot at the dawn of that kind of aviation. Shot down over Chichijima on September 2nd, 1944. He floated around in the Pacific for 4 hours. If the wind and the tide had pushed him toward the island as opposed to away from it, he likely would have become a Japanese prisoner of war. We now know that Chichijima was the scene of terrible war crimes, including cannibalism. So it was a narrow run thing for him. But the war shaped him fundamentally. On the night he lost to Bill Clinton, he talked about, in his diary, he talked about how he didn't understand how the country could elect a draft dodger. He was quite blunt about it.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author John Meacham. His latest book is Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. One of the toughest battles that also Mr. President Bush and his family had to deal with, and that was the not just the death, but the news about Robin and the fact that she was sick. And back then, what she was being treated for wasn't really known much about.
No, the first time George and Barbara Bush ever heard the word leukemia was when their daughter was diagnosed with it in Midland, Texas in 1953. And it was, you know, understandably and obviously it was a crushing blow. The loss of Robin, she died in October of that year, shaped the family forever. The Bushes still immediately begin to weep as they talk about her. But and when I asked President Bush what he had learned from the experience, he said that it had taught him that life was unpredictable and fragile, unpredictable and fragile. And so I think what, you know, he was about 30 years old, not quite. By the time he had lost two crewmates in the war, he had seen men die in war, and he'd lost his daughter. And so that was an experience with life and death in a very intimate way that not many people ever have.
And this affected, as you mentioned in the book, the entire family, and especially George Jr., Georgie, as he was called back then. He found it hard to take, and also Barbara Bush realized that perhaps he was carrying too much weight on his shoulders because she overheard him, you say in your book, saying, "I can't play. I have to. Mama needs me," something like that.
Yeah, yeah. No, she heard him say that he couldn't come out because he needed to take care of his mother. And she realized at that point that she had put too much or had allowed him to take on too much of a role. It's incredibly moving and incredibly difficult to think about this. I mean, it's what's this most unimaginable thing? It's the loss of a child. And it shaped the Bushes forever. But they were, you know, incredibly dignified about it. This was not something they talked about. It was not something that they tried to turn to, you know, tell some sort of narrative about political advantage for political advantage. It was just a deeply personal, deeply difficult hour.
We are chatting with New York Times bestselling author and Pulitzer Prize winning author John Meacham. John's latest book is The Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. One of the things that I was wondering about, John, is the fact that what you mentioned, and a lot of people know about him coming from a privileged family. In fact, then governor of Texas, Ann Richards, had mentioned at the convention that poor George, he was born with a silver foot in his mouth. And in this book, you discuss the Bush family, the Walker family. And my question is, how did this family differ from the Roosevelts or the Kennedys or some of the other political families that were privileged?
They have more in common than they don't. The critical thing for the Bushes was they believed in service. They believed in competition, which is also true of the Roosevelts and the Kennedys, the Adamses to some extent. The big difference is that this is the one sort of fully Republican version of the Roosevelts. The Roosevelts, of course, had Teddy and Franklin Roosevelt. The Kennedys are Democrats. But I think that what Bush learned from his family was that you were to enter life's great contests. You were not to sit on the sidelines. You were to try to, you know, make a difference, make a mark, play fairly, of course, be gentlemanly as one could. But there was an imperative to succeed and to serve. And to serve, you had to succeed. You had to win. And that created a tension between what one did on the campaign trail and then what one did once you were in office.
John, did he ever mention to you, because you did have various conversations with President Bush, did he ever discuss the fact of how he felt when his son was running for office and actually when his son was elected? And it's got to be difficult when people are firing shots at your son and you got to sit back in the sidelines. On the sidelines.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. He saw it, you know, it was incredibly painful, incredibly prideful and painful. both. You know, and then, of course, they were only 8 years apart. And so, as Jeb Bush told me, you know, you can't expect a rational view of this. You know, some of the same institutions, same people were, you know, jumping on your son who had jumped on you. So that was incredibly difficult. And you have a kind of a circle the wagons mentality. George Bush Sr. believed that his best duty to his son was to be a good father and to be available to him if he wanted him, but not to pop off with a bunch of advice or offer opinions unless asked. And so what shaped their relationship in those 8 years of the son's presidency, in those 10 years or so of his national political career, was almost a reversion to the most fundamental kind of father-son relationship, as opposed to a former president guiding a presidential candidate.
We are visiting with John Meacham, a New York Times bestselling author, also the winner of the Pulitzer Prize. His latest book is called Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. You mentioned Thomas Jefferson being elected and John Adams leaving that same day. And that's one of your other books, Thomas Jefferson, The Art of Power. And again, I have to say it's a big book, but it's very well worth the reading. And I like the fact that you dig in there and you talk not just about Thomas Jefferson, but his mother, his father, and then other things that most people don't know about Thomas Jefferson, the man.
Well, Jefferson, you know, as a 19th century biographer once wrote, if America's right, then Jefferson is right. If America's wrong, then Jefferson's wrong, which is a heck of a burden to put on any one person. But Jefferson was an immensely political creature. And the book I wrote about him a couple of years ago tried to treat him as a working politician, that many of the contradictions, many of the seeming hypocrisies between what he said and what he did fade away when you see him as someone who was in the arena trying to govern, trying to build coalitions of opinion in a given hour to get through a certain crisis or a certain moment. And, you know, there's no more fascinating early American, it seems to me, than Thomas Jefferson. I mean, he's the man who wrote what's arguably the most significant sentence in the English language. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. And he was a president who created a 40-year dynasty. 36 of the 40 years from 1800 to 1840, either Thomas Jefferson himself or a self-described Jeffersonian was president of the United States. No one else has ever done that.
We're wrapping up here, John, shortly, but I want to ask you now about Thomas Jefferson is also known for writing the letter to the Danbury Baptist Church, and you wrote another book, The Art of Power, American Gospel.
Yep, I wrote a book called American Gospel that basically argues that the great good news about the country, about America, is that we have allowed religion a place in our public life that allows it to shape us without strangling us. And that religion is a vital force in the life of the Republic. It would be crazy to try to totally secularize or to try to turn us into a theocracy. That America, by hook and by crook, for better and for worse, has gotten this basically right, in that religion is one force among many that has inspired us, shaped us, sometimes for good, sometimes for ill. But all in all, you know, this is still a country where more people are trying to get into it than leave it. So we must be doing something right.
John Meacham, we want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us here today. It was an honor and a privilege to speak with you, John. And I want to thank you for your writings, for your books. The most recent one, Destiny and Power, The American Odyssey of George Herbert Walker Bush. John Meacham, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. This was great.